Here we go. It's hour number three of the nation here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Texas triumphant earlier today. One zip again against the Reds. They took 2 of 3, okay? So that put good vibes in the air already to get the afternoon started. And now, I mean, you know him from the NFL on Fox and Mad TV. He is in DFW, Addison Improv tomorrow night. Frank Caliendo in studio here on The Fan. Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to go right into Gruden, man. You guys signed Micah Parsons yet? Did that happen, man? Is that you guys just beating around the bush? He's got to be what? $400 million right now? Is that how much it's going to cost you?
Roughly, probably by the time it gets done. I mean, Jerry said yesterday he didn't even know who Micah's agent is.
Who is his agent, man? You know who his agent is, man?
David Mulligetta.
David Mulligetta, man. That guy does a good job, man.
I think it's pronounced Muffaletta. Muffaletta.
I tell you what, doesn't matter. You ever see the David? That's a statue over there in Florence, Italy, man. I've been there. That's a big statue. Like a big cash truck that's going to be backed up for Micah Parsons, man. It's going to be tremendous right there.
How would you handle that, coach? How would you handle the
I'd call him in, man. I'd say, what do you want, man? I want to take care of you. You're my guy, right? You're my guy. You're a defensive player. You're going to do everything we need on that side of the ball. Other than that, I don't really pay attention to defense, so give him whatever he wants and get moving, man. Muffaletta, Marshaletta, what's his name? David?
Yeah.
I like David. That guy, man. David. I got a guy named Leonardo. We can make all the Ninja Turtles together, man.
Well, while we have you here, John, congrats on the quarterback school coming back. I mean, that's
quarterback class. No, quarterback like class, X-Men yeah. First class, man. That makes me like Dr. Xavier. Did you ever see that guy, man? He can shoot stuff head? With his mind. I don't have to. It's not that far away, right? Think about that, man. Picture it yourself, man. I sit in a hovering wheelchair and I order people around. That's the best idea in life right there, man. You got a guy, smart guy named Beast. He's blue, man. He's like a furry Smurf, but he's intelligent, man. What are you going to do when Beast comes at you?
Coach, what are you going to do with all these clothes? I've been noticing you've been getting a lot of clothes from these universities. What do you do?
Just going to wear them all at once, man. You've put on every university in the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. And we're going to put on each one of those sets of clothes. You ever see those quick change artists? You ever see one of those guys in Las Vegas? You ever been to Las Vegas?
They do. Been to Las Vegas.
Good city. That's pretty good. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I think that's how it goes, man. Except for me that one time. Something got out there, man.
Frank Caliendo here with you on The Fan. These quarterbacks you're talking to, that Micah Parsons of the world, they're coming after him. Does that give you nightmares?
I tell you what, man, you got to be agile back there behind the line of scrimmage. You got to have a great offensive line, because these defensive lines, they're scheming to come and get you, right, man? Yeah. So what are you going to do? You can't just run around and throw wherever you want. You got to set your protection. Yeah. And then you got to move and understand where everybody's going to be. And that's about the extent of my football knowledge. I almost went to one of those. The quarterback class, he was shooting them the last 2 weeks. I was going to go down there, and I ended up talking to a producer because John wanted me to come down, but he didn't talk to a producer. He's like, you got to come on down. You got to come on that's down John. And do one of these quarterback classes with me. So I'm like, let me talk to a producer first. I'm like, are you guys going to throw me in for one line? Because I don't want to go to Tampa, sit around for 6 hours, fly in, fly out. It's like, yeah, we don't really have a ton of time. I'll be like, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll do something different, maybe at the draft or something like that. But I don't want to come in and go, I'll tell you what, Jackson Dart, you're doing a tremendous job. I played a game that's named after you, man. Darts. You ever play darts?
It's good ones.
Some good stuff right there, man. You play that. You ever play billiards? There's no quarterback named billiards. Nobody named 8-Ball. There might be a guy named 8-Ball, man. But he has nothing
Gruden
to
would
do
find him.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we'll find that
His
guy.
Name's Ryan Leaf.
He's a Ryan Leaf. He's turned his life around, man. He's a good guy now.
How do you like working in Texas?
Me, Frank? Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I don't know if we're still doing the bit or not. That's the problem with my life. I never know if somebody cares enough. Thank you for caring enough to talk to me. I love it. I really do like Texas. I think of Texas as like the Midwest down south, because it's got that ground and a little more we're on our own. Like if there's a war, we'll just take care of ourselves kind of thing. I'm starting to do Gruden. I wasn't even trying to do that.
No.
But yeah, I really like Texas. Kind of it's very similar. I grew up in Wisconsin, born in Chicago, grew up in Milwaukee. So it's kind of that similar. It's not the LA or, East Coast vibe. I think of it as normal people. with in some cases a lot more money.
Yes, there is a lot of that.
All money. You ever hear that? All yeah. money. I think it's O-O-L, and it's not even that. Yeah. Just O-L-E. Yeah. Man. Like Ole Miss, that man.
Old money.
Just go about 200 miles that way.
Miles. M-O-L-S.
Yeah, you'll run into quite a bit. Do you ever lose your voice getting
lost? I started
lost?
To. Right yeah. now, it gets in there. Well, that happens with Mel Kiper Jr. Talking about tremendous situation. Look at everything. The other day, I was breaking down Cooper Flagg. Usually talking about football guys, but look at a Cooper Flagg. Over at Duke, 6'10", 6'11", to stand next to LeBron James a couple years ago. It looked like he was towering over him. And then you look at the wingspan, 7'1", 7'2", the ability to pull up. A lot of people compare him to Grant Hill, maybe a smaller Kevin Durant without the same kind of fast twitch muscle. But at the end of the day, Cooper Flagg finds his way into the lane. He's got a great ability, and he's going to be number one pick. He'd be hard-pressed to me otherwise.
I love it.
Gosh. I love the Kuiper.
We love the Tisby season.
Todd, you know how many guys, I've ruined named Todd their lives?
It's bizarre because there'll be sometimes I'll just be in the house and I'll start going, Todd. I don't know how. It just stuck with me in my head.
So I realize this, that sometimes people are at work. There'll be a guy named Todd. He'll be working at a cubicle. And somebody who is a sports person will walk past them going, Todd, and they have no idea why. Yeah. And then they're at a show of mine, and I'm like, that's there because of me. I'm sorry. Because Mel used to just go, Todd, and then go into it, and I turned it into that, Todd. And it became a thing where I tried to see how many Todds I could get in. It was like Madden and Summerall waiting for coming up next on an all-new Murder. She wrote. You know, so yeah. How many tots can you fit into a Murder, She Wrote? Figured out at the end of the day, you'd be hard pressed to be otherwise. So yeah, so it became that kind of a thing. How many would they let me get away with there on TV without editing it down? But and I didn't even have that at the beginning. It was going to be McShay, because sometimes they'll say McShay. But then I started saying Todd, and the producer and I were going back and forth. I'm like, yeah, I think Todd's better. And it was like, Todd, that hard D in there. Todd. And it's McShay's like, you have ruined my life. I'm like, no, you got a couple of big contracts after that. I think it went pretty well for me.
That was good for biz. Frank Caliendo here with you. How'd you find your way into sports? Were you a player?
Look at me. My dad was a minor league baseball player in the White Sox organization in the 60s. He played for the Sarasota Sun Sox. Mm. And if you look up Frank Caliendo batting average, my dad has whatever from single A ball, double. I don't think he made double A. Rookie ball, maybe single A, but probably hit like 195 or something like that. Middle infielder, went to Triton Junior College, just like Kirby Puckett. So that's where the similarities ended. But so I was a catcher in baseball, played a little bit of outfield, AAU Junior Olympics, 1988 national champion, guys. I don't want you to
be
too jealous about that.
That's pretty good.
All-American.
U18, you said?
U14. 14 and under. Okay. We played 17 and under. We took fourth, I think. But 18 and under was the third year of AAU Junior Olympics. I still have the trophy somewhere. I have a team trophy. That tells you about a guy with an ego. I'm still living that.
I got all my trophies, man.
Do you really?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
I even keep the ribbons. Even participant, I cross it out and put number one.
Yeah, first dance around with the ribbons sometimes at night.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, why not? It's a lot. You can make it as much fun as you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then did you go play college? I mean, that's pretty high level for a teenager.
I was going to play, that was 14. Yeah. So I tore up my knee, kind of an Al Bundy situation, we'll say. But I tore up my knee playing football, running an outside jet sweep as a freshman playing the sophomores, got crunched going both ways.
Ooh.
And at the time, it was, you know, right after like the Sean Elliott type of time. So that was the knee brace was new and all that type of stuff.
Right.
I never had the ACL fixed. And I had the cartilage taken out of it. It wasn't in the cards. You know, I wasn't going to be. But I was going to walk on and play Division II baseball at University of Wisconsin Parkside. And then I went to my classes and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm not going to play baseball. I mean, I could hit a little bit, but I didn't really have the arm. And, you know, if looking for a 5-tool player, I had none of them. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, whatever, I'll just go and I was in a calculus class, a night calculus class with a European professor who I could barely understand. I was 2 days into that class and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to go to these baseball practices. And like 4 weeks later, I was in Spanish 2 instead. I dropped calculus and went to Spanish 2 or whatever it was with some of the baseball players, by the way, who I lived with because I was going to play baseball. But we played baseball, basketball, football as kids. And trying to think if there's anybody who ended up. It's funny because my kids play in Arizona, and there are so many Division One athletes. You probably have that in Dallas area too.
Yeah,
where there's so many. Like growing up in Wisconsin, there were no D1 athletes. Like very few, unless you're Con Knipple going to Duke. But there were not a lot. And in Arizona, there's lots of retired athletes there.
Right.
So their kids play, and it's just unbelievable the amount of talent. And I think Dallas is probably
the Houston area is really big for
Houston
that.
Because
my son, you know, plays baseball, and then they were going down to Houston to play quite a bit, and it seemed like all the Astros. He was pitching against all the Astros kids.
They're banging on garbage cans and stuff.
The parents are banging on the
nipple buzzers
out in the center field. Yeah, distracting everybody.
and stealing the signs. But
hey, I tell you, no respect at all. You know.
But I grew up around all that kind of stuff. Friends with basketball players playing AAU. So I just grew up playing sports as a catcher. I'd be behind the plate. You know, I'm calling pitches. And I'm talking to the ump, trying to make him laugh. I'm talking to the batter, trying to distract him and stuff like that. And it worked out some of the time. So I had a lot of fun that way. And that was kind of my first audience was the hitter and the umpire who couldn't leave. So I kind of had him stuck.
How much of your stand-up is sports?
So it gets woven in a lot in and out. Because a lot of times people know me from different things. So the sports stuff... If you do too much sports, certain people tune out.
Right.
So I keep the sports stuff pretty general. But the people who are in sports, like Barkley, just basically did my stuff from my act. I don't know if it was last week or the week before when they asked him, what do you think of the first half? And he's like,
yeah,
well, that's a good question, Ernie.
And you found out he wasn't watching, which is my joke that he's like asking a question.
Well, I don't really know, but I'll tell you what. Vladimir Putin is crazy. He's going to blow up the world. Well, I've been little pieces watching basketball. Back to you, Ernie. You know,
so it's when those things happen. But he doesn't know anybody's name. He's like, look at number 5, passing to the guy with the blue shoelaces. Did a really nice job. Like, you don't know any of this. You're not even. That's a different game.
What do you think, Shaq?
He's not on this show. What are you talking about?
So how do you try to, like, at what point do you hear a voice and say, oh, that's me?
Or? Well, if it's a sports voice, I look for commercials and stuff because that means they're bigger than just the sport. Once Romo started doing Skechers, that was when Jim, which I think I've done for you before, is just revving up the car. Oh, Jim.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony. It's looking for that. Remember, Barkley had the $5 box. It rocks that. And there's always different commercials people are doing. So that's a key. Other than that, somebody's in, you know, winning an award or something like that. The latest thing I've had, and it's probably not going to happen because I talk about it too much now, is I got a call from my agent a couple of weeks ago. He's like, this director for the Madden movie wants you to work, because Nicolas Cage has been cast as John Madden. He's they want you to work with Nicolas Cage a little bit. And I'm like, okay. And they want to do a Zoom call. I'm like, no, I want to meet Nicolas Cage. I want to hang out with him. I want to, like, here's my monitor lizard. You know, that want to see what a channel is right here. And I can work on if I'm with him, I can work on this. But I could tell him how you take it from up here in your nose and bring it down here to your throat and you could become John Matt.
I could show
him how to break that down, which is like I always talked the one I and again I don't know if I've done this for you or not, but like it's there's Kermit the Frog and Fozzie Bear. Waka waka. And if you do those two things with your throat, you can go from Kermit the Frog to
John C. Reilly, did you touch my drum set? Did that kind of a thing. To Mark Ruffalo, to Paul Giamatti, I believe. That is one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yes. So those, which isn't that far off if you take the air back out, it's Joe Rogan. Wow, Jamie. Oh, my God. Pull that up. So those are all. And back in there, too, is Seth Rogan.
I had no idea he was even in this.
You know, that kind of thing. So there's all those voices are very similar. So I could actually help him with that. I would. But then they every 2 weeks it goes away and then it comes back. I don't know if Cage is out on safari getting new animals for his house in Vegas.
Like he could be flaky. You know.
Maybe a little. That might be the truth. Might be the truth. But I just want to boom. You know. That's why I just think it would be fun to do him doing Madden and then having the story because that would become. Like everything I'd talk about, just walking around Vegas,
have you ever been to the MGM? Let's go. Let's play some roulette. You know, let's try whatever.
Could you train other people to do voices, you think?
Or somewhat, is it, yeah. I mean, you have to be able to, you have to have somewhat of an ability to understand it. But it's anything. It's like anything. It's muscle memory. Mm. What do we do? When we were kids, we all probably practiced. I'm 51 now. So when we went to baseball practice, football practice, soccer practice. And now they do training. They train movements. And that's the same kind of thing with this, is you just train things in your throat. Or they're all card tricks. It's all, what do you do with your throat? How do you tighten it up? What do you do with your mouth? I always say, the mouth tells you how the person talks, the eyes tell you how they think. So if I were to do John Gruden, that voice works like this, man, right? But like you said, when I put the eyes in suddenly it becomes something incredibly different, doesn't it, man?
It does.
It makes you want to agree with me on everything I'm saying, doesn't it? Yeah, right there. Everybody's nodding. Yes, simpatico, I think that's called, man. You ever see that? Simpatico. Little spider too. Why simpatico, man?
Hey, Frank, when I you know, I'm like 10 years older than you. I grew up with like Rich Little.
Right.
Like guys like that, you know, comedians that were, that did impressions. Is there anybody that ever, is that something that you ever go back and look at some of those?
Well, I grew up watching, I would watch him on The Muppet Show and The Love Boat. Those are the times I played. Sure, but I watched Jonathan Winters more.
There you go.
And Robin Williams. And that's why I go from voice to voice so much rather than doing the vaudevillian thing where they, you know, you watch an old Rich Little bit, he would stay on that bit for, it's like a pitcher without the pitch clock, you know? They take their time. And in this day and age,
you got to go.
Nobody would care. Yeah. So he'd dress up like him the whole time and, you know, take the time to put it on. Now you just got to go next. What's next? And I think that's really, and I have no attention span, as you guys could probably tell. It's actually for me too when I'm doing it. So I just like to go from thing to thing.
It's Frank Caliendo, Addison Improv tomorrow night. Did you ever meet Val Kilmer?
No, I was supposed to meet him, which does not count as meeting him, obviously. He was doing, he was going around doing his Mark Twain thing, and I was going to go see him at the stand-up live. No, it was actually the Tempe Improv in Arizona. It was owned by the same people, so it doesn't matter. But I was going to go there, and I think he wasn't feeling well, and they're like, it's not the right time. So, because he'd had a bunch of issues. I think it was throat cancer before. And because he was, I think everybody's talking about, but Tombstone. I mean, I was the straightest arrow as a kid, but I'll tell you what, Doc Holliday, I wanted to be Doc Holliday as a 15-year-old.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sounding like Gruden. I wanted to be Doc Holliday, man. I'm not your Daisy. Come on, man. What are you talking here, man? Come on. I'm not your Daisy. What are you doing?
Thank you, Frank. Anything else to know about tomorrow night's show?
It's a clean show. What time's the show? 7:30, improvtx.com. frankonstage.com brings you to all the shows I'm doing, because you guys are probably everywhere as well. Even doing a show in 2 months that you guys probably have a reach to is Lawton, Oklahoma, which I'm doing the Apache Casino. Nice. Everything's good. I'm doing the Apache Casino in Lawton, Oklahoma. frankonstage.com, May 22nd. It's going to be a different kind of show. This is going to be a show at the Improv this Thursday, which is tomorrow. ImprovTX.com. Every second I've been with you guys, I've been enjoying you. I've been enjoying me. Spider 2. Why banana cream pie for all of us?
There he goes, Frank Caliendo. Yes. Great to see you, sir. Woolchuck's top 10 at 4:20 coming up next, buddy. Where are you taking us?
Well, it's National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. What are the top 10 things you would be most embarrassed to order as an adult at a restaurant? That's next in the nation.
Yeah, buddies. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation. Thanks so much to Frank Caliendo at the Addison Improv tomorrow. Go back and listen with the Odyssey app or Twitch, YouTube. It's time for Woolchuck's top 10 at 4:20. Here he is, Zach with an H. You're Woolly Bully.
All right. What is the most embarrassing order at a restaurant as an adult? Something that you're just like, ooh, I feel a little bit weird ordering this. Whereas a kid, it's totally cool. But as an adult, I should probably have grown up.
I got the number one. That'd be a grilled cheese sandwich.
Ah, grilled cheese.
Yeah, as a main, unless you're at a like one of these like Dallas Grilled Cheeses or something where you're obviously there. And if
they make gourmet ones,
if you can put a protein in it, like if you're getting a brisket grilled cheese, something like that, I think it's a different deal. But if you're an adult and your entree is bread and cheese,
yeah,
you ever done the tuna grilled cheese?
Tuna grilled cheese, absolutely.
Essentially a tuna melt.
It's a tuna melt, right?
Tuna melt, yeah. I make those at home all the time. They're just freaking phenomenal.
This is going to be bad.
What's that, bro?
Go ahead. Me, chicken strips.
Dude, how could you even say that?
I just said it. Chicken strips. I think that is a kid's meal.
What about you go to Cheddar's and you get the chicken tender platter?
You could be better than that. You could be better as an adult. You could figure out better ways to have breaded chicken other than chicken tenders.
Chicken fried
steak. Sometimes it's a crap menu and you just know I need something that's hard to mess up.
I would not go chicken strips. I would search other items on a menu than order chicken strips. I'm just sorry.
I would too, but sometimes I got to come back to it. It's a tried and true staple of mine, Brian. I'm offended.
You're offended?
And you're right. It didn't go over well.
I mean, there are some places that do them. Like, I do love the Honey Chipotle Crispers at Chili's.
Okay. But I guess it's more adult because it's a crisper and not a tender.
Maybe. Just because it's got a different name. But I think anything that's on the kids' menu, Brian, like, you've got to play. And chicken tendies
chicken tendies are on every kid's meal in a restaurant. Every one of them. That, mac and cheese, like... There's always something, you know, but chicken tenders is always on a kid's meal.
Okay, so I'm at the fast food drive-thru, and I order chicken nuggets. What does Brada say to that?
The nuggets I'm okay with, the tenders I'm not.
Ooh, I think nuggies are more kid than the tendies.
I agree.
Personally.
There are some places that make tenders that are so phenomenal, though. You do have to make room for them, right? Like a perfectly beer-battered chicken tender, not the staple frozen
You know
one.
What? The thing at Chick-fil-A, because you used to do that big platter with the little the nuggets.
Yeah.
To me, with the dipping sauce and all that, that's just a little quick thing. But if you're ordering chicken tenders as a meal, you're ordering off the kids' menu.
Do you have different standards for sit-down restaurant compared to fast food?
No, At any level.
All right.
I like that. The consistency, and this has become a polarizing topic because the text is fighting over this. Some are very offended. Some agree with you 100%. But now the question is, like, what about a restaurant? Cane's. They specialize just in the chicken tenders.
Kids-only restaurant, right?
I don't need a Cane's.
Okay.
So you don't need chicken strips at all.
And Cane's is a Baton Rouge place.
Yeah.
That guy is giving a lot of money to my school.
Sure, that changes the position quite a bit. I can see being against chicken strips at a fine dining restaurant, but if you're just anti-chicken strip,
No, not anti. I just don't. If you're at a restaurant and you're at a table with adults and you order chicken strips, you just, in my eyes, ordered off the kids' meal.
Sure.
The kids' menu.
Which also has the grilled cheese sandwich and corn dogs. That's your top three, Wolchuk.
Yeah, corn dogs and grilled cheese.
Oh, okay. But time and place, though, right? You're at the fair, you're at the ballpark.
Love them. Yeah, have some in my freezer at home. Okay. Love popping them in the air fryer.
We're determined that if we something that we order that's embarrassing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think Dawson hit it with the corn dog, too. Yeah. I think if you sat down at a restaurant and ordered the corn dog, you're looking at. If you order just straight mac and cheese.
Yes, if that's your entree.
If that's like, I'll just have some mac and cheese.
Hakey.
That was an impressive order.
He's also a chicken strip guy.
I was getting the side eyes with my giant cheeseburger, understandably. But then the bacon mac and cheese comes out as the entree for old Hagee. No one bats an eye. All good there.
I didn't see it.
Awesome.
I know Hagee is going to order chicken strips. Yeah.
I did get the chicken strips in that setting, actually.
You did, yeah.
Because you couldn't find anything on the menu you liked, right?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. The other question that I have is... chocolate syrup a condiment?
Oh, this was hotly debated.
This was a debate during crosstalk, and I do believe chocolate syrup would be a condiment.
At a nice boozy brunch, for sure.
Yeah, because it's kind of like an add-on, right?
Yeah.
Now, Bobby had a pushback because I said, like, what's really the difference between a topping and a condiment? He's like, well, what about pizza? Toppings are, I mean, those are, we're talking about meats and vegetables. They're not even the same realm as a condiment, right? It's a completely separate thing. But if I'm adding, like, mustard,
would you say
or ketchup
pizza sauce
burger,
is a condiment?
Yeah, like marinara uses a dipping sauce. So, yeah, technically it is a condiment.
Yeah.
It is. So yeah. I would go chocolate syrup is a condiment.
I think I would lean that way. It's a dessert condiment.
Yeah.
That's 100% what it is.
Yeah, you can include caramel.
What was the argument against it? Like, what if it's not a condiment, what is it?
He thinks it's like a topping.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think there's a versatility to
I kind of think
chocolate
a condiment
syrup.
Is something like mustard, ketchup.
Mayo. Relish.
Toppings is what you call condiments until you realize that condiments are a word. like 10th grade.
Like a topping is actually like a pizza topping, which again, meats,
pepperoni,
and vegetables, you know,
a cherry.
100%.
Where are we at on quesadillas?
That's kind of a kid's plate.
You think that's a kid's thing, too?
I could sense that Broadus would have some.
Probably.
He would turn up his nose to the adult.
Not turning it up. That's a kid's plate. That's two flour tortillas and cheese.
No, what if we got chicken in there?
I think we knocked out the top four, though.
But you agree on the
mention? Yeah, quesadilla.
Just getting a plain cheese pizza. That's the looking at.
Number five.
That should be number one, dude.
That's very childlike.
That is embarrassing.
Number 10 is chocolate milk, which a lot of people texted in.
Yeah. See, to me,
but I've been with adults who order chocolate milk because it's delicious.
If you're at an IHOP used to be so impressive with their chocolate milk. I think they've changed it. I might be wrong on that. You're at a IHOP, you're at a Denny's, you're at a Waffle House, you get chocolate milk, nobody should bat an eye.
No.
Amazing.
Did you enjoy your colors and little
kids thing.
Crayon thing you got there?
He noodles during the show. I mean, that's like an everyday occurrence.
Jerry Jones doodles.
He's
a lot
doodler.
Too.
Yeah, I am a doodler.
But that's, did you enjoy your little, with your chocolate milk and your colors?
If they'll bring it out to me, absolutely.
You drink it out of a straw?
I like to mouth to glass.
Did you have something to add, Ross?
Yeah, I was just going to say, if I'm like out to dinner with someone and they order chocolate milk, I'm going to say, what time is your mom coming picking you up? Because clearly you're not old enough to drive if you're ordering that.
For dinner, I think it's a time and place thing.
Ross just dunked on
he, you. Did, no, he place, said breakfast. Ross. He did say breakfast.
Yeah, and then that's one thing. But amazing. Like dinner? Yeah, no.
Yeah, I would probably look at you.
Well, like, what's it pair well with at dinner?
I'm looking at somebody weirder if they're drinking regular milk at dinner.
I bet your mom did this on a Sunday evening because she probably made a lunch. But maybe, did you ever have breakfast for dinner on a Sunday night?
Well, my dad would do that.
There you go.
When my mom was out of town.
That's when it's appropriate. Breakfast for dinner.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. All right, let's rip through this. Number 9 are the chicken nuggets or tenders. Mm-hmm. That did make the list. Mm-hmm. It did make it. Number 8, we've got the corn dog as the kids thing.
Okay.
7 is a Shirley Temple.
A lot of texts about the Shirley
Only
Temple.
Only kids, I guess, order the Shirley Temple, which I will say I can't push back on. I've never seen an adult order a Shirley Temple.
Never once have I seen an adult do that.
Never seen that.
My 3.5-year-old, by the way, dead ringer for Shirley Temple. And if you call her by her name right now, she will tell you my name is Shirley Temple. Okay.
Oh,
that's
really?
Adorable.
Yeah. I don't even know what Shirley. I've never even seen the real Shirley.
She's like a kid star from the 50s.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Good Chip Lollipop.
Oh, did she play Annie?
Yeah. Well, back in the day.
Oh, she was the original Annie.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Gosh. Number 6 is the grilled cheese, Dawson.
I would rather that than
cheese. Or as I called it growing up, the cheese toasty.
Ooh, the cheese toasty. In South Africa, they call them toasties, too.
Yeah, right.
The cheese toasties.
Amazing.
Number 5 is just plain buttered noodles.
Yeah.
That's a very kid thing to do. I used to have that. And then as an adult, you realize, like, oh, there's Alfredo. There's marinara. There's... You know, four
cheese.
Yeah,
but who just serves buttered noodles?
Buttered noodles. The kids love that, man.
Yeah, the kids are.
The kids love the buttered noodles. But as an adult, maybe if you're a plain person, you like that. Number 4 is any large dessert with like sparklers or fanfare that comes with it. It's a bit kiddy.
Mm.
So we got texts that are like the Rudy Tootie Fresh and Fruity, like from Denny's, or like the smiley face pancake, the chocolate chip pancake.
Oh, yeah, the Mickey Mouse pancake.
That's very kiddy.
Obviously, yeah, it's for the kids.
Top 3, number 3 are fish sticks.
I'll fight you on that one.
Fish sticks, not a child thing?
I mean, no.
Where chicken tenders are?
No, you could doll up fish sticks.
Oh, come on. What is the difference? One's just got fish, one's just got chicken.
Yeah, I guess.
That's a weird one.
No, fish sticks are, no.
It's basically fish and chips.
It's fish
though.
And chips.
That's exactly
what
that is.
You're not ordering fish sticks at a restaurant.
Well, people say chicken tenders are fried chicken, and I think there's more creative ways of doing that.
2 is a well-done steak. Which you gotta grow out of.
Don't.
You gotta grow out of that.
Don't do that.
It breaks my heart every time my wife orders a steak.
Or
has me cook her one. I'm like, I'm just
my mother-in-law.
How do you get it to the right doneness? How do you determine that without burning it?
You basically want to burn.
Meat thermometer.
Yeah,
is that what you got? Do you use that?
I don't actually. Okay. She's easy to please as long as it's not pink in there.
You just wait until it has the feeling of a brick.
Once it's firm, I'm like, all right.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Do you feel like a bone yet?
Yeah.
But number 1, the most embarrassing food item to order as an adult is the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I can see that. Unless it's a fried one with powdered sugar.
Okay. Now you're dolling
like
it up. Now he's dolling it up.
I watched a video.
Now you're not making it a kid's meal.
Like you're not
going
to a sandwich shop and order a PB&J.
Maybe a little honey on it.
But I saw a fried Uncrustable with powdered sugar video the other day.
Oh, they're delicious.
Oh, my goodness.
All of these foods I think are fantastic, and I'd still eat them to this day as an adult, except the plain buttered noodles. I'd probably spice it up a little bit.
If you're hungry enough, you'd eat the plain buttered noodles.
Yeah, I would. But I eat most things.
I mean, when I think of plain butter, I think of something Eric would just eat. Even though his mom makes the best Italian food.
Oh, no, I'm disrespected by that. That's a misevaluation by the scout.
I think Eric would sit down and just have plain butter noodles. Like he eats just ground beef straight.
At Olive Garden.
I think he would. He could put the butter noodles with the ground beef and make it even better. But no, we're going to have to eat them separately.
Not even plain.
Sounds delicious, actually.
They're side.
I'll fight you for that accusation.
Butter noodles? Put some cinnamon and sugar on top of that. Maybe some whipped cream.
Cinnamon and sugar on top of the butter noodles with whipped cream.
What do you
think? Doesn't that sound amazing? No. You sound like an elf.
Yeah, dessert. Exactly.
That's weird.
Dessert
that's
all over it.
What are you doing over there?
So we have the butter on it. We're halfway to dessert already. What? You know?
All right.
Okay, we got to run. MLB Top 100 Player Rankings. The most disrespected player in the big leagues happens to wear a Rangers uniform. We're back with that coming up next here. It's the G-Bag Nation on your home of the Rangers. 105 through the fan. Thank you, Ross, in for Lucius this week. It's time for some MLB player rankings, top 100. This is ESPN.com. Lucius is at that point in his vacation where he's like, okay, I got two more days left and then the weekend. Yeah. You're starting to hit the home stretch.
Yeah.
And you got to remind yourself to appreciate the 4 days off. I mean, in any other situation, this would be great, but you do see that light.
You know, it's funny you say that. You always say give Lucius some love on social. If you follow Lucius, which is kind of a lot of fun, he had one of the biggest margaritas I've ever seen.
I love it.
Really? He was sitting outside. Yeah,
that's his happy place.
They were all having chips and sitting outside, and that margarita glass was huge. So yeah, send him some love. He's still having a good old time out there.
So if I just asked you how many of the top 100 players in baseball do you think the Rangers have, what would you guess, or what would be your selection?
I probably guess three.
Three?
Man, I would think more than that. Seager, DeGrom, Evaldi, guaranteed, right?
Well, DeGrom, I mean, we did. MLB.com came out with one, and DeGrom was not on it.
Evaldi, I wouldn't think.
Not in the top 100.
No, because it's just been a few years now.
I get it.
He should be back on it next year, God willing, that he stays healthy again. But like, I think Seager is 100% a lock.
Yeah.
I think Wyatt Langford is going to be on there, because I know he was on the other one. And you already told us Simeon was on there earlier, and you thought he was too high.
Yeah.
So I know that there's at least three. But Evaldi, I think, should be in the top 100. What he's done in the postseason, even last year, the Rangers weren't good, but Evaldi was still good.
So you're saying three or four? What do you say?
Yeah. I'd be surprised if it was more than four, but I'd probably say three.
Yeah, I thought three or four. You know, I thought possibly five with all the names that you mentioned.
Langford was the one I missed. That might have been probably the fourth one.
Everyone's very excited about Wyatt because the way he was the AL Player of the Month in September, not even just Rookie of the Month, the American League player. So they were expecting him to do big things this year.
But I thought DeGrom, Seager, Evaldi would be the three guys that I feel like are legitimately in the top 100. And then, you know, we'd see with Simeon and Langford. Seager did come in at 21. Cole Reagans comes in at 48, by the way. That's the next player of note. That one hurt a little bit, but worth it.
Championship.
You don't win the World Series without Chapman, crazy as that was.
That was crazy with him pitching, though, right?
Uh-huh.
When he came in the other day, I was kind of thinking that maybe I was hoping that he would just be.
He's the one that messes it up for everyone.
He'd be wheels off. Yeah.
Marcus Simeon at 50. I need to see it from Simeon right now. I did look at it, and, I mean, he had 1 month last year where he hit 287. Everything else was below 250 and sometimes way below. You know, he had some good months in 2023. The World Series run was pretty pathetic. He had a couple of moments. Last year was forgettable. I mean, it's kind of like on the clock now where we need a stretch of a half season where Simeon's at an all-league type of level.
Like, I'll fight against any panic for the lineup overall. I'm pushing the panic button on Marcus Simeon.
Pushing?
I am.
Officially?
Yeah, I'm there.
And he had the courage to. You asked me that question. I didn't have the courage.
You just stepped away from it. You just dodged the question.
I did. I completely crawfished out of that situation.
Yeah, I think the sample size now is getting too big. It was basically a full season last year. The postseason, he wasn't overly that good during that run. He had a couple of moments. Of course, Game 5 of the World Series, he hit the two-run homer to put him over the top and seal the victory. But it was few and far between. Like, how many times in the postseason were we like, we really need Simeon to kind of get going? I think eventually you're going to see him replace the top of the order this year. I think that'll be Wyatt Langford taking that spot. And as a defensive player, he's still going to be one of the best at his position. So he's still worth having out there. But I don't think we're going to see the same old Marcus Simeon we were accustomed to when the Rangers first signed him offensively. I don't think that player's there anymore.
Sandler said we could have a change in the next 9 or 10 games when he joined us.
Yeah, you were surprised by that, right? You were thinking he was going to say a month. But and then he kind of said, well, it's been 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, he said this would have been 3 weeks into the season. I'm like, okay, well, I like that. I don't like just assuming things will get better. If it does get way better, maybe we'll put you back at the top later in the season. But right now, we got to do what's best. And it's kind of surprising they were able to go on that big run they did without him being able to do more at the top of the order. But he is 50th on ESPN's rankings of the top 100 players
passing,
in baseball.
Right?
Yes. Bang, bang, Wyatt Langford at 65.
Okay.
So he's in there. I think people just, are paying attention and on this ranking and appreciate what he did late last year in spring training and, so far off to a pretty good start. DeGrom did hit at 70.
Yeah. There we go. Okay, cool.
They give him credit there, but that's it. So we got to four, but no Eovaldi.
Wow.
And I think he is the most underappreciated ace. Maybe he doesn't put up regular season dominant numbers and sort of get the credit. For me, the proof's in the pudding. And if I'm putting together a team and there's an all-time draft, we need Eovaldi in our rotation. At some point, the players that play with him speak to his greatness. And, you see how clutch he is in the postseason. That speaks volumes to me.
Yeah, big game Nate. That's there. It's tried and true. I mean, what he did yesterday.
It was unreal.
I mean,
in the hitter's park.
Yes.
He needed the bullpen
especially
to be saved.
Especially after what happened the night before. Yeah.
One pitch away from that thing getting away from you. And he was just locked in. No walks.
No, incredible. He really was. He was amazing.
It's crazy. He is. He has to be the most underrated player in baseball if he's not on this list. That's embarrassing.
Who are the future Rangers that should be on this list in the next couple of years?
Oof. I mean, I'd love to say Josh Young.
Shortstop, right? Your guy, you like it.
Wolcott,
maybe one day.
Wolcott, maybe Jack, though, yeah. Maybe Jack Leiter. I mean, that's a guy that everyone's been waiting for. So, absolutely. If he is able to, throughout this entire season, do what he's done the first two games, yeah, Jack Leiter's an all-star.
Yeah.
So, he will be a top 100 player next year.
You mentioned Josh Young, if he can stay healthy. I mean, that guy's an all-star. And then Jonah Heim, even. If Jonah Heim gets back into the 2023 version of himself, that's the type of guy that not only behind the plate, but with the bat in his hands.
He was an all-star and a Gold Glover 2 years ago.
Like, he was the real deal.
I think, it's interesting Jack Leiter going 5 innings dominance. Maybe that's the future model with less pitches thrown per start. That's not that bad in today's game to go 5 innings. But can he go 6 or 7? When he can add that, then he'll be really something.
I thought Boach was going to leave him out there if he didn't have the blister.
Yeah.
They felt like that they caught the blister before it got bad or could have got bad.
Which, nice. I mean, that's put people on the IL before. I think John Gray's been on the IL with blisters. So if you start to see that, like he was favoring it. Yeah. I mean, Matt Hicks was talking about it during the call as I was driving in, that he was, kind of rubbing the finger what was going on there. So it's probably smart. Just don't, especially second start of the season.
Yeah.
2-0, though, man. Wow.
Things are going in a great direction with him. Not so much with Evan Carter. None of you mentioned Evan Carter as far as a top 100 player of the future. I saw this from Tepid Participation on Twitter. He's a Rangers minor league
follow.
Blogger. Is it Michael Tepid, I believe?
I believe so.
Yeah, Dane Dunning, uncharacteristically wild for Round Rock last night. Only lasted 2 innings, but check this out. Evan Carter 0 for 4, 3 Ks. He has 1 hit in his first 15 plate appearances thus far. If you were wondering how Evan Carter's doing so far in the minors, he's 1 for 15. Brian.
Is he really?
Is this over?
Yes. Is that real?
Yeah.
You're not ball sacking me on those numbers?
Not ball sacking at all.
Is he only going up against lefties?
Right. That's a true stat fact, and it's unfortunate. But at least we got a World Series from Evan Carter. And for that, JD was right for taking him.
Yeah.
Okay, football's finest coming up next. Where are you taking us, Chief?
Adam Schefter on Shador and the Giants. Plus, which coach is being made fun of the most at the NFL owners' meetings? That's next here in the nation.